Well, that's good singing. Appreciate the fine job that Brian did in directing us this morning. Grateful to David for fervent prayer that he offered. This past week, I was down in Cajun country, and I mean bona fide Cajun. And their specialty is crawfish. Now, I called them crawdads, but they said, no, you don't call them crawdads down here. You call them crawfish. So I ate crawfish till I could see crawfish in my sleep. And I tell you, they're good. That's why I told them I want them, just like you fix them in various ways. And so I ate crawfish about every day that I was in Lafayette, Louisiana. And if you ever have an opportunity to go and have a new experience, go to Lafayette or down into southwest Louisiana. Had a good meeting. Brethren came over from Port Arthur, Texas. And they told me that Danielle is a member there. And so that was a pleasant surprise. And he is doing his work there in Port Arthur and attend service at Imhoff Congregation, where I've held meetings in past years. On last Monday night, we started, had probably the first song, and the lights went out. No windows in that building, it's dark as pitch. And so here we were, no lights. They said, "Weldon, can you preach in the dark?" I said, "I think so." So somebody found a little light they put here in the table, and the brother backed his car, but I didn't back it. I wouldn't have done any good. It helped, but that wouldn't have done very. He brought his car around to the front of the building and shined his lights through, and you could see a little bit in the building, but I couldn't read anything or use the board, so I just had to speak from memory. And I was glad that was one that I knew from memory. So it went well. We had a regular service. It got hot in there toward the end of the meeting, and then just time when I got through, the lights came back on. A transformer had blown down the street. We heard it pop. And so that was an experience over there. Tomorrow I'm going to be down in St. Croix in the Virgin Islands, where Brother Toll Burke preaches. I don't know anything about that down there. I don't know what to expect. It may have something even better than crawfish. I don't know. But I'm looking forward to it, being with them. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Brother James Pugh was put before the church here for the eldership. And if there were any objections, scriptural objections, they were to be presented, and I don't know of any being presented, so tonight, we'll appoint Brother Pugh as one of the elders in the church here. And Brother Pugh will do a good job. He's a good man, a good family. This morning, for just a few minutes, I want to talk to you on saving our children. I'm concerned, and I know you are too, as parents, as to what's happened over the past several years. We are losing our children to the world. And we've got to turn it around, brethren. It's imperative. We're in a state of emergency, we might say. And we've discussed this, not here, I say we, members in various places, preachers discussed it. I've discussed it with Mike Willis. We were discussing it last week. And here's what we're saying, and I believe it's so, that we can't do anything too much about those we've lost. Now, we might reclaim them, some of them. But we're going to have to start where we are with our little ones and bring them up. If we lose our children, brethren, I don't know what the church is going to be tomorrow. And I believe as the home goes, so goes the church. You think with me for just a moment. I read this, that from birth to 21 years of age, the waking hours of a person, I believe it was 105,000. Now, counting the hours they're in school and the hours that we bring them, if we're Christians, to church, say on Sunday morning, that leaves about 92,000 hours, waking hours. Who has them 92,000 waking hours? We do as parents. And I know others can help other institutions, the school, the church, but they cannot do the job for us as we can do it if we accept our responsibilities. We can't expect to bring a child to church, to Bible study, and ignore our duties at home and expect that youngster to become a Christian. Now, he might. But what is he seeing at home? What is he learning at home? In both the Old and New Testaments, we are taught that we are to bring our children up in the proper way. In Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way that he should go, not the way that he may want to go, or the way that's the most popular, but the way that he should. And that means there's guidelines. That means there's restrictions and there are restraints. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, that's a general principle. Because sometimes they will depart in spite of how good a job the parents do. Now, you have also a statement in the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And there he said, ye fathers. Now, dads, here's a problem in our society, that we have neglected our duties and responsibilities and turned it over to mother. He didn't say ye mothers in the text. He said ye fathers. The father is the head of the home. He's the provider. He's the leader. He's the patriarch, as it were. Somebody said that we're fastly becoming a matriarchic society. That may be true. I don't see the men today in America taking hold, being responsible, exercising their authority that God gave them. And I don't mean by being tyrants or being the big bosses of the home, but I mean just being the head of the house. What can we do as parents? Now here he said, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Well, the first thing that we can do and must do is to teach our youngsters respect for authority. Now, I want to drive that home. The problem we have in society is that we don't have a respect for authority. And it stems back here to childhood, where we've lost our family values. Now, regardless of your political bent, Dan Quayle was right. And these politicians who boo-hoo the family values, they don't have anything to offer. And I don't know how much Dan Quayle has to offer. But I tell you, friend, what he said was true, and what Ross Perot said was so. And it's not an easy process. I don't care how much money you throw into the system, that's not going to correct it. We've got to get back to where we were years ago. And it's a teaching process. And we start in the home, and many homes won't do it. And so we get it into our schools and into our kindergartens. Child start programs and get back to teach them that there are things that are right and there are wrong. Listen to what the Bible says. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, along there about verse 2, at least there in that chapter, when he talks about perilous times would come in the latter days, among those things that he mentions is disobedient to parents. That was one of the characteristics of the Gentiles in Romans 1 and verse 25 or along in there. Maybe down to verse 30 it is. Verse 30 of Romans 1. Disobedient to parents. Can you imagine, friends, that a child, here he is, 14, 15, 16 years old, having no respect for his parents? And you know why he doesn't? Because the parents didn't instill it into him. When this little old boy sasses his mother and he gets by with it, what else can you expect? When he says no, and he throws a tantrum, and he gets down on the floor, and he screams, and he beats the floor until he gets his way, what's he learning? What are we teaching him? Well, we need some discipline, and I'm going to get to that in just a moment. But here's what some of the prominent psychologists have said. One is Dr. Dobson. Dr. Dobson pointed out, he says that many of our difficulties with the present generation of our young people began in the tender years of their childhood. I believe he was right. Some of us are wrapped up in child psychology. Now, there's some psychology that's parallel with what the Bible teaches. That's good psychology. There's some of it that stinks. Some of it is no good. It's detrimental. Some of them talks about never correct your child. It warps his psyche. Yeah, I like to warp his psyche. I mean, who are they trying to kid? Somebody says, what do you know about it? Well, I want to tell you something about psychology. I majored and got a degree in psychology. And there are various schools of psychology. You can just pick your choice. Take your choice. And a lot of it is just common sense. And I tell you, the best psychology is the Lord's psychology. If you want, because he made us, and the maker knows more about the machine than anybody else. Are you listening to me? It's like me trying to tell the engineer at General Motors or Ford how to build a car. I don't know anything about building a car. I know some things about an automobile, but if I want to know what the problem is, I've got to go to somebody who's an expert in it. And even the Even the garages over here get into trouble, and they got to call Detroit. And so they know their automobile. They made it. They know it inside and out. God knows us inside and out. So Dr. Spock, you know, he was, back when Julie was a baby, he was quite prominent back as a few years ago. And then Dr. Spock saw that his philosophy was all wrong. He said, I've been wrong. And parents were just, oh, Dr. Spock. And everybody had Dr. Spock's book. And you can't even give a baby a bottle without seeing what Dr. Spock says. And Dr. Spock, in his permissive approach, said, I've been wrong. Well, I could have told him that before he ever wrote it. That didn't work. Well, God said it didn't work. And I know children are different. Not only you got to treat one differently than the other as far as getting results. And you have 2, 3, 4, 5 children, you know that better than anybody else. He also stated that a mother can expect her child to challenge her authority regularly from the time he's about 15 months of age, if not earlier. Now that's pretty early. Well, what are you going to do when challenge your authority? Give in? That's what her problem is. Well, I want him to love me. Yeah, he'd probably grow up not loving you because he won't have respect for you. And I say you, I'm generalizing here. You know who children have respect for? Parents that's got guidelines and regulations and rules and enforce them with love. I don't have respect for you if you don't have any rules, because they perceive that you really don't care about them enough to be concerned as to where they are and with whom they're running and associating. And they may not know that at the time, but they find it out a little later. Now, Dr. Clyde Naramore, he wrote a book, Discipline in the Christian Home. He said, quote, studies in delinquency show that a significantly large number of offenders are from homes where parents do not take enough interest in them to establish rules and regulations. Was he right? I think so. He and his wife went to visit some friends, and the host was having trouble getting her children to eat vegetables. You ever have that trouble? I've seen children, the most appetizing looking meal on the table, and sit down there and, yeah, I don't like that old stuff. Mama, fix me a hot dog. Give me a pizza. All right, honey. So Mama goes over there and gets a hot dog. And here's a balanced meal. Here's a good meal. It's Thanksgiving. I know this happened one time at Thanksgiving. All of the trimmings are there. And this kid wanted a hamburger. And Mama fixed it. That hamburger. Hear people in the world starving to death, and we're spoiled brats. And they said, now here's professionals. And they were over this home, and she said, what do you do under these conditions? They need to eat these vegetables, and I can't get them to eat them. She said, I'll tell you what I did. And it worked. She said, what was it? She said, I told my children, you know, children are like that we're all like that. I was like that. You probably like that. She said, here's what I did. I said, okay, you don't have to eat your carrots and whatever other vegetables there. I said, fine, you don't have to eat them. And said, a smile came over. They were talking about one of their children. Smile came over the face, but said, you can't have anything else till the next meal. And then that countenance changed. And she said, you know, that child started loving vegetables. What did they do? They just enforced some common sense, some rules. Instead of letting children tell us how to jump on everything in life, brethren. I heard Ira North years ago. Ira, he was a flamboyant speaker. They called him Fiery Ira. Great speaker. I didn't agree with Brother North and some of the positions he took, but he was an interesting, he was a great elocutionist, if that's the way you pronounce it. So he said, my father, I knew his daddy, he was in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee. He owned and operated North Funeral Home. And he said, my daddy told me, he said, son, he said, while you're under my roof, he said, you do as I say. He said, the man who owns the fiddle calls the tune. And he said, I own the fiddle. Now, parents, we own the fiddle, and we call the tunes. And this will differ from their various stages in life. You don't treat a 14-year-old, a 16-year-old the same way you do a 4-year-old. They have to have more liberties. They have to develop more independence. They have to be able to make their decisions. And we can be too possessive. On the other hand, we can be too permissive. And I tell you, sometimes it takes the wisdom of Solomon. It seems like there's just sort of a tight rope here, a fine line. But we have to have this balance. And I've seen families where they were so possessive and so restrictive that the children, when they did get out on their own, didn't know what to do, how to think, and they just jumped the traces and became wild. And then others, they were wild from the word go. Now here's a statement from a pediatrician. Here's what he says about authority. He says, there is just one basic lesson you will need to teach your children. And that is, now get this, respect for authority. No matter what else you want your children to learn, they must learn this lesson first. Whatever the age of your child, if he has not learned this lesson, stop all other teaching and concentrate upon it. Simple words, brethren, that's your trouble. That's your problem with our society. That's why we've got gangs. That's why it's unsafe in many places to walk in the street. That's the reason you have breaking and entering, juvenile delinquency. All of this stuff going on, like over here in school. We need Joe Clarks in every school in this country. We got these wimps who are in power. Our school boards are wimps, many of them. And our superintendents are wimps. Not all of them, but too many of them. And they won't do anything. If the child doesn't want to learn, throw him out the front door. Put him back to his mom and daddy if he's got a daddy. Old Clark carried the ball bat. Now we got some of them say, you can't teach like that. And he did it. He got the atmosphere where you could teach. He said, I'm tired of drugs. I'm tired of knives. I'm tired of guns. And he got his ball bat. He got his bouncers. And he walked the halls. And the kids who were there to learn loved it. Our principal, when I went to school, He didn't have to walk the halls with a ball bat. He just had the control over us sitting down there in the office. Because the teachers took care of everything then. Here was a 98-pound teacher. Could put a young man, 17 years old, who was 200 pounds, 6 feet 2 tall, could put him in his place, could control him. You didn't dare hit a teacher. You didn't dare sass a teacher. You were out. Or if you weren't out, you paid for it. You got a response from the Board of Education. It was a Hickory board. Well, we got to instill authority. We got to have discipline. We got to have rules. We got to have regulations. And here's the wise man, and he knew what he was talking about. He was inspired of God, and he prayed for wisdom, and that's what God gave him. And we talk about the wisdom of Solomon. Now, here's what Solomon said. You think he knows more about it than these school psychologists, government officials? You think they have all the answers to all these things? More money? What's strange to me, ladies and gentlemen, that the amount of money it takes to supposedly teach a child today. You ever stop to think about that? You just want more and more, more and more, more and more. You got to have a building, a teacher. So you got some tools. Now, when you analyze that, that's not a whole lot of money for a community. Where's the money going? Huh? Ever stop to think about where it's going? You just analyze what it takes to teach a child. You got to have some books. That's not very expensive. Books are high for an individual to buy, but I'm just talking about across the board, and you got a teacher, and teachers are underpaid by and large. It's a shame that our teachers make $25,000, $30,000 a year, and somebody has an IQ maybe of 85. And he's making $3 million a year. Now, that tells us something in our society. But it doesn't take all that much money. And yet they want more and more and more in this. And we're not getting quality education. So Solomon knew what he was talking about. And Solomon says in Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. If he doesn't punish when punishment is due, he hates his son, Solomon said. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. If you love him. Well, that doesn't mean necessarily a switch, but a switch gets the job done with some kids. Here was this mother who's saying, I spank my children, and they just laugh at me. He said, how you doing? He said, well, I just turn them over and spank him. He said, drop their pants. Said that. They got too much cushion. He said, get your little switch. And said, they won't laugh at you anymore. She came back and said, you know that works? And I'm not talking about inhumane treatment. I'm not talking about cutting whelps on the child. I'm just talking about where it stings, where it hurts. I saw this cartoon years ago in a bulletin. Here's this father. He'd had it up to here. And I mean, his face showed that he was really disgusted. And had that little junior about that tall, you know. And they were going into the house, and little junior's holding on to the post of the porch. And he looked up at his dad and he said, "Dad," said, "let's give psychology one more go." All right. In Hebrews 13, or 12, rather, verse 9, "Fathers of the flesh corrected us and we gave them reverence." Now, when there's not correction, there's not reverence. That's the idea in the passage. God corrects us, disciplines us because he loves us. And he uses this in Hebrews 12 as an illustration. And notice here in the 19th chapter of Proverbs and verse 18, "Chasten thy son while there is hope." Well, if we let them go till they're 12 and 14, it's too late. Chasten them when they're small. Correct them when they're little. I go into homes and I see all kinds of children in meetings, go out to eat. I see well-mannered children, "Yes, sir," "No, sir," "No, sir." I see little urchins. One preacher went to a place to eat. This kid bit him. He was a biter. He just run around, come right up to him, scrape a hose, had right down on him, see? So he got tired of that right quick. So he said, "Come here, honey." He just smiling all the time, got him up, and he got in under here, and he just pinched the daylights out of him. That little boy went, "Hey," you know. And the preacher said, "What's wrong with him, you reckon?" He never bit him again. The mother should have been the one that pinched him, but the preacher is self-protection. And I see this all the time of children that like are not courteous, children that just like hooligans, children that'll jump into the table before the guests get there, and they sit down and they start in their hands getting it out and everything. Get them and get them up out of there, and you sit here and you learn some manners, young man. There's no sense of that, brethren. Children needs to be have guidelines, they need to have regulation, they need to have rules. And it can happen, it happens sometimes in the meeting house. Children just take off and run up and down the aisle. It looks like a playground instead of where we've been to worship. And the doors are open and bang, you know, and run over an elderly person or run out in front of a car. And we have no idea where they are and what's going on and what's happening. And in the classroom, and it looks like it's been struck by a tornado after they get through in the classroom. And some places have to put locks on them. They lock them up after the teacher comes out to keep them being destroyed. Well, there must be discipline. "Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." I'm not going to get this done this morning. Finish it up tonight. A mother, she went to the shopping center. And you know those horses are there. Her little boy, about 5 years old, got up on there. He wanted to ride. Well, that's all right. That's good. Put 10 cents in. That's back some years ago. Put 10 cents in, and he's sitting there just riding, having the time of his life. And, of course, that thing runs out. It's on a timer. It runs out. And he quit, and he began to put in another dime, mother. "Son, we got to go. Mama's in a hurry." And she was in a hurry. I don't have the time. And he began to scream and to put in another. "I want a ride." And he wasn't going to get off. She said, "Come on, son. Get down off of there. Come on, honey." And she was trying to reason with him. And he wasn't in the reasoning attitude, mind. And he said, "No, I want a ride." And went on. Of course, that drew a crowd. And they were enjoying that show. Now here's this grown woman, little 5-year-old boy, and she was trying to reason with him to get off that horse. And some fella came up and said, "Lady," said, "I see you're having trouble." "Oh, I am." She said, "There's a psychologist got an office right down here. It's in fact real close." said, would you like me to go get him and see if he can help you? She said, I would. I'd be eternally grateful to you if you would. Psychologist came up. This was a good one, by the way. He came up and he got down that little boy. He whispered in his ear. And that little boy just wilted. He just slid right down off of there. And the mother was astonished. And she said to that psychologist, what did you do? What did you tell him? He said, I told him if he didn't get down off of that horse right this minute, I was going to beat the stuffings out of him. Now, we don't want to beat the stuffings out of a kid. But who's boss? Who's boss? That's the whole point in this. Who runs the show? Who owns the fiddle? Who calls the shots? And it's dad. And it's mom. And they rule in the house. And again, let me emphasize, with love of that child. There are too many children today, brethren, that are abused. There are too many children today that are mistreated, that are neglected, and our hearts go out to those youngsters, and their parents need to be put in prison. It's like this goofy couple over here went off on vacation and left those kids alone, little children there minding alone. Those are despicable people. I don't even want to go away and leave a pet alone if it's not going to be taken care of, much less your own kids. Yet they were running off somewhere, and they do this all the time. Leave kids, and here's a mother out running around at a bar somewhere, picking up men, and here's these little kids, maybe four or five in the home, and they're maybe 9 years old down. And here's a fire as they begin to play with matches, and they're all destroyed because the negligence of a no-count, no-good mother are many times a no-good dad. And it's a disgrace. Love them. But we show our love by rules and regulations and discipline. And we emulate Christ in our lives, in our home. That they got something to imitate as they grow up. Now some children are going to imitate somebody. Children are big, great imitators. They got their heroes. And your children's hero better be the dad and the mom. Those better be the heroes. If they're not, we're in trouble. Somebody's going to teach your children, just like everybody else's. They're going to learn values from somebody. Either they're going to have the wrong values, or they can have the right values. And it's going to depend on what you do as a parent as to what kind of values they have. And they'll have those all of their lives. And the personality of a child, brethren, is set, established by the time he's 6 years old. And if you don't get it then, you've just not got it. You can just put that down. Now, a lot of people know that. Catholic Church have said, give us a child who's six, he ought to be a Catholic. That's a general statement, I suppose. The Jews learned that. They've known that all through the year. And many of us know that. But the time to start is when they're in the cradle, when they're little, and they learn. Remember when Dodson said that they're going to try your authority 15 months or under. And that's pretty small when they start testing your authority. That little. Now tonight, I want to talk about some more things in regard to this matter. Brethren, we have got to get back to save our kids. And it's got to be done from this pulpit, our pulpit like it, in our classrooms, but most of all in our homes. And as parents, my, what wisdom it takes, and sometimes we don't know whether it's right or wrong, but I think if we try and we got the Lord with us, we can see it through. And yet, in spite of all
may lose them anyway because they're free moral agents. If you're in the audience this morning and you're not a Christian, would you come and be baptized into Christ to reach his blood, cleansed, and raised a new creature? All things have been forgiven and forgotten by God, and it doesn't make any difference what we've done, what sin it is. God will forgive it. There's nothing too terrible, too heinous that God can't now or nor will or won't forgive. He'll forgive everything, every sin that we repent of and turn to him for forgiveness. Why not come today and be a Christian? Or if you're very child of God, why not come today and be restored to that relationship, covenant relationship? You've been severed by sin. You need to come if you're out of relationship with God right now while we stand and while we stand.